My parents came here in 1930, late 36, early 37.
Okay.
And we've been here, I've been here ever since.
Wow, yeah.
When I was living in Detroit, my husband, friend, used to bring him over to where I lived. And that's where we met. And he told me it was cheaper for me to come to Ann Arbor and live and for him to come to Detroit every weekend.
Our family went to Mack School.
Okay.
And then I came to learn that as I became aware of what's going on in town, there were only about maybe 5, 6, 7 places in town where an African-American family could buy a house. And my mother and dad, I learned in retrospect, actually bought the house that we were raised in very early in their married life here in Ann Arbor. And so we owned the house on Minor Street, and there were only about 2 blocks, 1 block on Minor Street, a few blocks on Gott Street, where African-American families could own, and they went to Mack School. So that's how we happened to be going to Mack School. And there weren't too many of us in Mack School.
When I was in school, I went to Harriet Street School, called Perry Street School now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you probably may not remember it as Harriet Street School, but that's what it was. Dominantly African Americans. We had about 10 white families that went there. And then they redistricted everything, which I knew nothing about redistricting as a young person. And then it became mostly dominantly black. But we had teachers, mixed teachers. We had black and white teachers. Now, I'll tell you one thing, the black teachers were tough on you. They wouldn't take no crap off you.
My school was segregated. We only had one school for the black. The white had their school and we had ours. We didn't ride. We walked from one end of town to the other. And I was happy with that.
Okay. All of us walked to high school. They told us we didn't live far enough for the school to give us a bus. So we all walked.
How long a walk was that?
Oh, that was quite a walk.
Okay.
Well, it seemed like quite a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say it is. West Kingsley and 4th Ave and 5th Ave and Beeks. And we walked down Main Street all the way out Main to
Ann Arbor Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
I played football in high school, and intramural basketball, softball and so forth too, but not at the varsity level.
The city used to open up one of the parking lots down on, I don't know if it's First or Ashley, I can't remember, but somewhere in there. And I remember going there, dressing up and going there for a Halloween party. We used to have parties in the parking structures.
I worked at UAM. I didn't really go there for a job. I went with another friend of mine. She wanted to put in the application for a job at U. So she put in the application. I said, no, I can't put in the application. I said, because I'm not looking for a job now. Mm-hmm. So she talked me into it. I put in the application. They hired me, but they didn't hire her. They told me when to come to work, but my husband was on vacation in Tennessee. So I told them that. They said, when your husband come back, give us a call. And I did, and I went to work. Started working midnights at the U.
No.
Then I left there because I wanted to get on days. With children, you can't work nights. You don't get enough sleep in the daytime. So I went to St. Joe, and I got on days. And I stayed there for 25 years.
I was captured by the Chinese, and I spent... This was in November, and I spent 33 months in prison camp with the Chinese. The first year, 50 to 51, was devastating. The average nighttime temperature was 50 to 55 below zero. And we got captured with all summer clothes.
I did some work on behalf of the JCs to establish the community college.
Wow.
And
Washtenaw Community College.
Washtenaw Community College. And later on, I spent 19 years as a trustee.
WCC.
At WCC, and actually chaired the board for a couple of years while I was there, too.
You'll be tired sometime, but you know what? I just think about your patient and think about your children. You just go ahead on and do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So me, I didn't have a choice for taking care of my kids or the patient, but I loved it.
I don't know how my wife stayed with me so long, because I tried to get her to leave. I had post-traumatic stress so bad at times. I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just go. And she'd say, what time did you get up? I said, I don't know. It was daylight almost. And it wasn't. It was dark. Where'd you go? I said, down to the river and try to catch some fish. You know, I didn't do anything. I just had to be moving. I just had to be moving.
I remember my mother saying Duke Ellington came here. But because there weren't places for blacks, I believe Mr. Seeley.
I know Mr. Seeley.
Mr. and Mrs. Seeley.
Seeley. Mm-hmm.
They lived on the corner. Well, she still lives.
There.
On the
She's
corner.
She's like 93 or 94 right
yes.
now. We interviewed her for
Did you?
Phase one.
She's a lovely lady.
She really is.
And that they would put them up, and they would put any black people up. The Elks sometimes put people up because they had rooms upstairs. But that was the only place that black people that came here.
Where they could stay.
Where they could stay. There were no places. And there were places we couldn't go. Like on Main Street was a Sugar Bowl restaurant. We weren't allowed in there.
There were not a lot of overnight accommodations. They would stay with the relatives. If they were coming to visit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always room. We right. always found room. If somebody's coming to visit you, we always found room.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went someplace else to visit, which was not that many places, we always were accommodated.
Mm-hmm.
Parents did everything they could to allow their kids to exist in as normal an environment as they possibly could without being affected by as many things. We didn't go out to eat a lot, so it didn't matter about the restaurants that wouldn't serve you. We didn't go in hotels a lot because it wouldn't. We're not affected by those types of exclusions. So I think our parents did everything they could to make our existence as normal, an existence and an upbringing as possible. And as we got older and start to experience on a first-hand basis the things that we were not allowed to do, then we were able to deal with those things and not necessarily our home environment.
Well, it's been very easy for me to live. I've always had a job. I bought a house here. Then I bought a second house here. Then I bought a third house here. And so my living here has never been a problem for me.
My teacher, my history teacher, was asking everybody, the other students, when their ancestors came over here, and the white students were saying, oh, they came from Germany, or they came from France, or wherever they came from. So I raised my hand and asked, were we always here? We being the black people, because I couldn't say where we came from. I had no idea.
There's nothing covered in the history
Nothing.
Books.
Was covered. He didn't ask me either. And so when I asked, he kicked me out of class. And I couldn't come back into class without writing 500 times that I would not disrupt the class. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't think I needed to do it because I was asking in a sincere way. And then my mother came and told him that I didn't have to write it. Because I asked a legitimate question. And because he couldn't answer it or wouldn't answer it was not a reason to punish me. But I was not allowed in the class. I had to take it in summer school so I would have enough credits to graduate.
When I first came here, it was a lot of wooded area, but now it's built up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see as many cars on the road as you see now.
Mm-hmm.
I never really grew up with segregation until the bomber plant people moved in. And then you start hearing the N-word, which I'd never heard. And I went home and I had to ask my mother, what are they talking about? And she said, son, I could tell you something that would make you bitter for the rest of your life. But life's too short to go around being angry at people. She said, they don't know what they're talking about. Just let it go. Okay, fine.
Right after Dolores and I were married, though I recall, and I've told the story many, many times, that there was a house that we saw, because we were renting. Mm-hmm. There was a house that we saw that we thought we wanted to buy, and were denied the opportunity to buy it. And I could have fought it more and more, but I chose to do an end run on it and found something else. And
mm-hmm. Well, when my husband died, it was a challenge because I had to raise the kids because mm-hmm. my baby girl was still young.
Mm-hmm. And how long had it been since
My mother was living here. She moved here, and my grandmother, before my mother and grandmother died, they helped me out with the children mm-hmm. while I worked. Because mm-hmm. I like to, you know, I had to work in order to make, you know, ends meet. Mm-hmm. I like worked overtime. Well, my mother, she watched the kids for me mm-hmm. while I worked overtime.
Integration, segregation, busting out, that's taken place. And then the other phases of it, to watch the country grow and watch things grow and expand. I happen to have been, I took my son and grandson to Washington, D.C. for the groundbreaking of the Martin Luther King Memorial. And I wanted to do that because I knew that was on the epicenter, that was a pivotal point, and it signified some things, that a monument that will be there forever.
There was a disturbance by some white students, and they came into the school to do harm. And they marched in with rifles.
Is this Jones School?
No, this is Pioneer.
Oh, Pioneer, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's when I worked.
Worked, that's right.
Worked.
Okay.
And the ombudsman's office was to try, we worked at the secondary level schools to make sure that there wasn't any racism, to try and put a cap on the racism. But there, I don't know why these young white students were angry, but they were, and they came into the building and started a fight. But they came in with weapons. They had nunchucks and they had rifles on their shoulders, and my job was to keep the black students in the cafeteria. But when the white students came in, they were chanting, using the N-word and saying that their blood was going to run in the halls. So the closer they got to the cafeteria, then the black kids came out. So I couldn't keep them in the cafeteria. And so there was a fight.
What advice would I give to the younger generation? I used to speak to some of the Pioneer students, one of the history classes. And when I finished, I would say this. The first thing you say is you don't have enough money to go to college or any money. But you never said you could go into service and earn enough money to go to college. You're doing something for this country. You're earning money to go to college. It's called work, but it pays off in the end. And as a young person, work has never killed a young person yet.
They ought to give the kids to love one another, and please stay out of trouble. Don't be breaking in people's house, robbing them. Get your job.
What advice would you give the younger generation?
They don't want my advice.
You can give it to them anyway.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. They're going to get it. My kids will, they get it. And they are accommodating, and they patronize me a little bit. And they listen.
Okay.
But I don't know that I have a lot of, I'd have to go back to my grandmother's. Some of her sayings, there are enough things you don't know still.
Right.
You think you know.
Okay.
To make another world, because that's the world that they're growing up in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think if we teach our children to be proud of themselves and that they're not beneath anybody, they're just as good as the next person. If we can get that thought across to them, then you can move on. That's what helped me to move on. My mother telling me that I was as good as the next person.
Mm-hmm. I told my kids, you don't have to go to school, but you'll never accomplish anything. I don't care what you say. As they grew up, we took them to the poor areas, we took them to the middle class areas, we took them to the rich areas. And then I'd say, which one would you like to live? And they'd say, oh, that one there. I'd say, why? Oh, they got nice homes and cars. I said, but how do you think they got them? Oh, money. I said, no, how do they, come on, come better than that. Education.
Love one another, mm-hmm. which they don't do these days. Because mm-hmm. the way the killing is down Detroit and around, mm-hmm. they don't love each other.
Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to give up on our children.
That's good.
They need working on, and we need to be there to help them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's good in them, and we need to bring it out.